I'm Tom Lounge as your host, and today, or tonight rather, we've got a rather interesting show. A guest who's been here before, Lauren Dukes, has brought her band, and this fabulous singer-songwriter is going to be talking about finally putting out her own music on the front burner. She's been part of the Chicagoland scene, singing blues, jazz, and R&B covers to appreciative audience throughout Chicagoland, but now her own music is taking the front burner. We're going to talk to her about that. We're going to have some of the members in studio to play live, and we're going to feature some brand new recordings from the Lauren Dukes Band. It's all coming up after your headlines. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for supporting Lakeshore Public Radio on the dial at 89.1 FM and streaming worldwide wherever you may be at lakeshorepublicradio.org. It's time now for Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm your host, Tom Lounges, and tonight we welcome back in studio a favorite performer of mine, and she's been on this program in the past. Only tonight, we're here to talk not just about some of the cover stuff she's done, because she's been performing R&B, jazz, gospel, and blues throughout Chicagoland for quite some time. Today, we're going to talk about her own music being put on the front burner and a full CD project that's coming out relatively soon, sooner than later. Well, we'll find out more details about it. Along with her is Andy Sutton. We've got Miss Lauren Dukes of the Lauren Dukes Band, and coming in by phone, Nick Bird in just a little bit. But right now, as we always do, let the music do the talking. Let's get addicted to some new music from Lauren Dukes Band.
I can recall back when I went about life normally. That's all changed, nothing's the same, and now I'm lost in you. Need to resist, but the pressure build still is unbearable. I can't take this, I can't take this. No, I need a sweet release. I'm welcoming the torture. You're my high and my low. It's not good, I know. The euphoria will pass, I'll need a fix again. But until that time, I'm trying hard to find a way, just to see if I can go a day without this constant thought of you. But I'm confronted by the truth, where to run or where to hide. Why are you haunting my mind? I want this to end, but I never felt so alive. It seems that when I'm with you, everything else disappears. And so do you, and I'm left to bask in my agony. We're in too deep, and too much of anything will only harm you, only harm you. My soul yearns for peace, while my body craves the rush. We chose intoxication, sobriety hurts. I said that I'm addicted, and that's half the battle. Afraid of coming, coming down. A day without this constant thought of you, but I'm confronted by the truth. Where to run, where to hide? Why are you haunting my mind? I want this to end, but I never felt so alive. Escape, send me away from mundane reality. Come desensitize me, caught up in bliss. A colorless existence is thrilling, consuming, but this love gonna kill me. tried to find a way just to see if I can go a day without this constant thought of you. So I'm confronted by the truth, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Why are you haunting my mind? I want this to end, but I never felt so alone.
Well, are you addicted yet? You will be by the end of this hour. That's Lauren Dukes, some new music from the Lauren Dukes Band, Addicted. Coming up, we'll be playing a couple other tracks that you're going to be hearing here first. The album is coming out sometime around June, is that correct?
End of June,
and it's finally getting here.
It's getting closer.
So six songs in all. It'll be like between an EP and a full album.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And
five songs, sorry.
Oh, five songs.
Yeah, five songs.
Was it five? Five.
Okay, you don't even know what you're doing.
It's been so fast-paced and hectic. I don't know. What's today? Where am I?
You have been doing cover songs for a long time.
Yes.
Now you're finally getting the chance to strut your stuff, so to speak, with original music, mm-hmm. stuff that you have been involved in writing as well as your band.
Mm-hmm.
So what's it like for you at this point to say, okay, I'm finally at this next crossroads, this next plateau of my career?
It feels like sending a baby off, like your child off to college. Because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's as a cover artist, you work really hard to take care of other people's art. So you're like the nanny of other people's art.
I've never heard it put that way, but that makes sense.
But oh, thank you. So now this is mine. This is ours. And other people also, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to make these songs happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I came to Sutton with like, I was like, okay, I've had these songs. I had the lyrics and the melodies and structures, but he, you know, rearranged it, brought new life to it, brought these amazing musicians and producers and other people to take part in it. So now it feels like, oh, it's growing up so fast. It's time to send it off to college. Oh, my gosh.
Well, you have been working with Sutton Music Co. for a little while now. Mm-hmm. How did you and Andy, we're going to have you tell it first and then Andy can jump in. How did you first come to meet this guy and to say, he's going to be the vehicle I need for this?
They say when you meet somebody, you know. When I first met him, I believe it was just he was booking me on some public gigs with his dance band and some things that some gigs that he was coordinating. And you could just tell, it's like, he's so easy to work with and ethical and obviously talented.
His head is getting very big over in that corner there.
I was like, this
the headphones
guy.
Aren't Go fitting on. Now.
My check's in the mail. You could see like that mogul drive mm-hmm. in him without sort of that, hey, I'm going to just take all your songs and usurp them and they're going to be mine and you're going to have no attachment to them anymore. It's you really get a sense that you can trust them.
Okay.
And if I can't, I know where you live.
Now, you had mentioned you brought in like some of the core stuff, the lyrics, the little melodies.
Mm-hmm.
What was the process? You said, here, Andy, take this, make something of it?
No, when I first started performing them, I was a part of forming a band called Eclectic Soul.
Okay.
It was an area band, and we performed them, but it was definitely a different vibe. It was a different structure to them. So Andy, how did you? I don't even know the answer to that one. How did you decide, like, hey, She doesn't suck. Let's make her song.
So are you wanting me to tell the story of how I met Lauren from my perspective?
Well, you can touch on that, but how you wound up taking what she brought to you and creating what we're hearing today that'll be on this album in June.
Well, so I had been working with Lauren for about a year and a half at that point. And, you know, we always had a really good rapport together. And we always worked well together. You know, when you meet somebody that you work with chemistry-wise, when mm-hmm. you work well, you have, like, the same type of work ethic. You have the same kind of ideas, you know, and, like, mainly, like, you know, you're open to the same types of things. I started getting an idea towards the end of 2019, like, hey, like, it would be a kind of a cool thing to produce some of the area singers' original material that has never been heard. I had been working in the blues a lot, and so, like, I came up in a scene where I would be playing for artists who had been doing this for a long time, and I had been gathering a lot of knowledge from them on the road and stuff, and, like, just seeing how different artists, like, take their material and spread it around, you know, and not everybody did the same things. And some of them made some mistakes, or some of them got too attached in the wrong way, you know, and I would always see these types of things when they were talking about, their process. And I would be like, well, if you had done this differently, it would be better. So I kind of had this idea for a while that, like, I would just want to produce something really, really, like, really the right way.
Okay.
And really good. And, of course, I've been doing a lot of stuff with Stop, Drop, Rewind for the past couple of years before that, so I've been learning a little bit more about, like, PR, like, for rock and recording process in that realm. So, so when Lauren had said, like, that she does have some original material, I kind of took that as a sign, like, you know, maybe something can happen with this. You know, maybe, like, if nothing comes of it, it's fine. You know, like, it'd be fun to try. And so I approached her and I said, like, if you would like to do a trial period type of thing like this, this is a trial for me too. This is brand new producing stuff and, like, looking for people, the right people to send this out to, and, like, trying to make it as big as you can and try to make it as good as you can. It's all been, like, a learning process. And so that's kind of how it kind of started, you know. And I think I had to bring people – I had to see who was the best fit for, like, the band and who had the right chemistry together to create the vibe that went well with her material.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the first days we got together, if you're asking about the writing process, she had melodies basically. And she had some recordings of – what she did with a previous band with them, which were pretty different than they are now.
Off my phone.
Yeah, and we didn't really use much of that. We used, like, I think the one that we kept was, like, El Boogie, I think, maybe, was that we kept some of that stuff. The other parts, I just kind of want to start from scratch, and so I hooked up with, like, a writing partner, because I'm not the best at hearing chords all the time. So this, and that's kind of the point of this whole project, is to bring in people who know, who can do what I don't do. And so I would kind of direct them and have them play different. I would kind of have them play different colors of chords underneath certain melodies, and then I would start to slowly piece together the arrangement of it for what felt the best and what felt right, you know, for her vibe. And that's kind of been, like, a lot of the process. This is just piecing together the right team and the right people to make this happen. And
which
then
works for me, because I go so much off of feel. If something doesn't feel right, then, and I don't feel like it's gonna vibe well with me, and then I'm going the other way. And it just so happens that so many people that I just jokingly in my mind said, I'm going to work with them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh my gosh, he got them. Oh my gosh.
Well, your core group now, if I'm not mistaken, is Ola.
Mm-hmm.
Ola Timothy, who we had on a couple weeks ago, or a week or so ago, and Nick Bird.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nick has been playing guitar and playing with bands since he was just a kid.
A wee little one.
And, of course, Ola is, as we established when he was on the show, is from Nigeria and has a whole different approach to sounds and creating. So Nick has a background in church and gospel music. Mm-hmm. You have a background in that. Mm-hmm. Ola is all over the place yes. with so many different rhythms and things. And then Andy's basically, you're a jazz guy, mostly. I mean, you can do anything, but you are, that's your love, right, jazz?
Yeah, I mean, I always say that music is my love because I try not to, like, I try so hard, I guess, that when I'm composing or when I'm thinking about music to not, like, get boxed in mm-hmm. and do what feels correct. So you'll notice on a couple of these tunes, like, there's a part that, like, may sound a little country-ish out of, like, context, okay. you know? But, like, in context, it delivers the next chorus, you know? Like,
okay. See, I didn't hear much country.
I don't really.
Not in this tune. I'm just talking about one specific part in
okay, in one
than,
song.
If unless he's, like, the southern draw.
No, no. But I'm talking about that little thing that we put in Hectic Love Week that's like, it's like a little twangy and like,
which
it's
we
like
don't
a
have
line.
Here tonight.
We don't have.
Right. Oh, you do have that here. Oh. It's, oh, it's same things.
It's all.
Oh, yeah. Same things.
Same things. Yeah.
Same things. The working title, Hectic Love Week, maybe colon, same thing. Okay. But it's, and it also, what I'll, I've never wanted to be able to be boxed in. Or right. if someone, you know, you have to put someone in a genre, then I said, okay, if they're going to, then it's, I want to be able to fit in multiple ones.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of the things I always noticed about you is that, and I've said that on the air before, your jazz, your R&B, your soul, I mean, there's all different styles that come together in mm-hmm. Lauren Dukes. You are not one trick pony. I mean, there are certain artists that, okay, you're an R&B singer of this caliber, mm-hmm. or you're a jazz singer of this caliber. But you're all over the board. I mean, you, as we hear when we play these three songs tonight, you're going to hear a different sound on mm-hmm. each one of them. There's a little bit of Anita Baker in there. There's a little bit of even Ella. There's some Ella in there.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I was listening to this stuff coming over here, and I'm like, she is just a solid singer.
Thank you.
How do you decide what style? Does the music dictate that as far as how you sing it, or does the music dictated by how you sing it? Which comes first? And then we're going to get Nick on here.
You know what? Yeah, it's kind of influenced by, okay, whenever I would sit down and write any of these songs, I would sit and pray. I'm like, okay, Lord, what is the message I'm supposed to bring out of this one? And when that comes, that kind of dictates, okay, this is sort of the style that just seemed to come out. Or say with Addicted, like, we wanted to be able to feel the desperation in mm-hmm. it, and it kind of took on more of a R&B gothic operatic feel. And so it really the music does kind of shape and influence maybe what style I sing it in. Because, yeah, I do. I like to say, I was like, okay, we're so talented, and, you know, we could be multi-genre artists. But I was like, oh, it's just a terrible case of ADD that's working out career-wise.
It just all comes together.
The challenge on the music writing side of that is to make it not feel like it's to make it feel like it's organic and not like it's changing all the time. So, like, using, you know, even you'll I'm sure Nick will mention this because we talk about this all the time, but just using the right parts in the right section of a song mm-hmm. makes a whole lot of difference. Like, when I was talking about that part that's just a little bit country, it's like a two beat little lick in 16th note, so it's really short. But, like, if you listen to it by itself, it's got that twang, like, mm-hmm. country type of guitar feel. But in context, it serves a purpose, and it comes together as a whole.
Now,
was
Nick the
else.
Guitarist on that?
Yes.
Let's bring Nick on. Nick is on the phone, correct? Nick, are you with us?
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay, have you been able to hear us on what we're talking about?
Yeah, I've been listening in. You guys sound good.
All right, let's talk a little bit about that twangy kind of thing that you and Andy came snuck in on Lauren there.
We said it was Red Hot Chili Peppers, though. It was more.
There was something about that. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of the Al Green, that the high rhythm section sound with them guys. So, you know, call it country or call it blues or whatever, but it's like out of that, you know, if you listen to Al Green stuff or whoever's, mm-hmm. it's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. It's roots music, you know, and I'm a big fan of that sound, you know. So to get to implement that a little bit and think of that rhythmic style was what I was kind of game for with Lauren, you know, to have that have that kind of vibe to it a little bit. Maybe it's more modern, but, you know, just to have a touch of that kind of rhythmic thing. Mm-hmm. And that sound to me is, could be called country, could be called soul, could be all R&B, you know, but I mean, depends who's playing it, you know, well, but it's close your eyes, it is what it is.
You're transcending.
Bringing up Al Green, that reminds me that a lot of his stuff was cut in Memphis at High Records, and sure, that does have a Southern feel. I wouldn't call it country, but I definitely would call it Southern, like Southern soul, Southern gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can see that. I can see that.
Well, that's dependent on context, you know, right? The context of everything around
Howard
it.
Grimes and the Hodges Brothers and stuff like that. You know, that's, if you want to be a good rhythm player, that's me who you check out. So,
okay,
I dig that, and I think that's it'd be cool to sound a little bit like them. I don't know. I could.
What makes you comfortable working with Lauren? I mean, I'm familiar with you, and a lot of people here are familiar with you from the blues. You are predominantly known as a blues guitarist, a blues artist, and I don't want to pigeonhole you at all.
That's okay.
But that's what people tend to look at you and say, oh, Nick Bird, the blues guy.
Yeah.
You're working in a different environment. Certainly blues play a part in this. But what is it about Lauren that makes it fun and creative for you?
I think we just have an understanding of the kinds of music we like. We both like some oddball stuff.
We both like Andy, so there you go there.
We both like El DeBarge.
The rabbit holes we go down, my goodness.
Like, you know, I think we got similar tastes. So that was an easy thing for us. We have very similar tastes in the roots of R&B music, so... is real cool. It's easy for me. As soon as, you know, and there's not a lot of people that know it like that. So, like, it's almost like you crack a joke and Lauren knows where I'm coming from. So we have a good understanding, you know, musically and, you know, with our humor, because I'm not serious that much. So we have a good time. But
you're my boy, Blue.
So, you know, I mean, we have similar tastes. I would say that for sure.
Okay. You know? Let's play another song so the listeners can hear what we're talking about when we talk about how the different styles that are worked in here. Lauren, what do you want to play? You want to do Closure or Same Things?
You know, were we just talking about? Let's do Same Things. Okay.
Same Things.
I'm going to before the release, put up a poll and ask people, like, what
we're calling
what
it?
Title? What are we going with?
So it's known as two songs now.
It is. It's right now, Hectic Love Week / Same Things.
Okay. All right. This is it. This is new stuff, Lauren Duke's band. And you're hearing it here first on Midwest Beat on Lakeshore Public Radio and worldwide.
Expecting things to change, does that mean we're insane? We part our ways, then come back for some more. His good love's what I blame. As we stare into each other's eyes, room lit dimly by candlelight, saying and doing things that lovers do. Champagne with that.
same fangs. That's Lauren Duke's band. And girl, you got attitude on that song.
Oh,
you're just
like
you. Just spitting it out there. I love it.
It's if you knew, like, I very rarely write about myself, but I think I have more fun almost putting other people's stories together, and it was something because I wrote it about a close friend of mine that it just shout out to Alex Treemstra, that it, I don't know, it just added an extra personal tinge because him and his girlfriend was, I watched their chaotic, toxic on and off again, and so I was like, you know what, I'm writing a song, that's it. So when it's personal, you kind of put a little more
that song in particular. I mean, there's a lot of really good singers out there, and you certainly are a good singer.
Thank you.
But you bring that song and make it your own. And one of the things that Shamika Copeland told me, and I was questioning the difference between R&B and soul music.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, there is no difference. Mm-hmm. She said, soul music can be any kind of music in the universe if it reaches down and grabs you by the heart and grabs you by the soul. She goes, if it reaches your soul and makes you think and makes you feel, more importantly, makes you feel, then it's soul music.
Yeah.
You can call any kind of music soul music. And I thought, what a refreshing way to look at it. Because I was always trying to distinguish, you know, as a record store guy, do you put this in R&B? Do you put this in soul? You know, are you going to offend somebody if you put it in the wrong place? If it's in blues, is it in jazz? You know, there's certain artists that, well, they're jazz, but they're also blues. And you get something like Buddy Miles, who does everything, you know.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
And where do you
agree.
Put it? I don't know how to file things. But she put me straight on that. Would you agree with that?
I wholeheartedly agree. That is, I agree, because it's, even when, as a cover artist, and you're doing, like, a corporate gig that might be a little sterile, every song I've heard, I've had people say, like, oh, every song almost feels like gospel. And I said, well, it's not that the genre changed or anything. It's just that anytime I'm behind a mic, I want to connect to whatever I'm singing. So I told somebody recently, I was like, I'm always on the brink of crying.
Okay.
So even if I'm doing like a kind of a cheesy pop song or something, I'm darn near at the brink of crying because I want to feel it.
What, Nick?
Nick, did I say that
to
you?
I said I feel that way too.
Yeah, yeah. So it's true. Anything can become soul music if you feel it.
Okay. Now, when you're singing this music versus singing a pop song, what kind of mindset do you? Do you change your mindset in any way? Do you approach it differently because it is your song and you want to make sure it hits home?
Not really, because it's just whenever I step on any stage, regardless of how big or how small, my prayer is that everyone leaves feeling better than the way they came. I feel like this is my ministry. This is, even if I'm not singing my material. So the mindset doesn't change. The heart place doesn't change. So if it's pop or whatever it is, I'm going into it that I want anyone under the sound of my voice to feel better leaving. And then also, like, not to be all overly preachy, but, you know, I'm a church girl at heart. It's my prayer every time is like, okay, God, use me to edify your and entertain your people and bring glory to your name. So that's amen. why, regardless of whatever I'm singing, it's the same headspace.
Okay. Nick, you play in praise bands too. What do you approach it the same way when you're up there, whether you're doing an Albert King tune, a Kinsey Report song, a Lauren song, or a gospel tune? I mean, what kind of state of mind and state of presence do you get in to get in that zone?
I mean, you got to approach it all with feeling. And yeah, no matter what you're playing, I think, you know, I think you gotta, you know, when you understand that's what you do, you gotta put a feeling into it. So, you know, if that makes any sense, but it doesn't, but there's something special about being in the church, of course, that is, I'm still a novice. I'll always be, I mean, I gotta be really humble with it, but at least I got my feet wet early with it. Forever grateful that I did. Very influential on me. And I mean, you know, it's kind of like the root of you know, a great feel for music, because it's just, you know, it's the real deal, you know. I mean, I think everything kind of stems from it in American music. So whatever you want to, you know, which came first, chicken or the egg, whatever. But, like, I love old-time blues, and I love old-time gospel. And those, but the thing is, there's certainly something very special about playing in that church, you know. And, yeah, I mean, not a lot of people really get to it, you know, that are like me. You know, I hate to bring it up that way, but, you know, I mean, I haven't seen another white person besides maybe a few preachers here and there.
There is a trend of places that Nick plays. And yeah. It's just,
I'm lucky.
He tends, you know, to be the only non-melanated person in the group, but you know what? That's a compliment to him, though. That's a testament to his talent, because as a culture, we are tough critics on music.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, our joke is, I was like, every black person can sing. We all can sing.
Yeah.
and those of us who have that musical background, or just who have a deep love for music, we're looking like, okay. We're examining, we're breaking down everything. So the fact Nick can walk into any room with anybody and
kind of like Steve Cropper. Steve Cropper's a guy that can do that too. He can go and play any kind of whether it's a gospel church, a Chitlin circuit, or any of that stuff from the old days, and he's fit right in. Mm-hmm. It's not a color thing at all. It's a spiritual thing.
And it's a learned thing, you know. I mean, nobody, I want to let's say, like, kids and whoever, you don't just go into anything knowing it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of influence. You got to broaden your horizons and be influenced by all kinds of music and people, you know. That's the beauty of it. So if I can, you know,
and
what I'm
paying
saying,
homage
I really
and bringing authenticity to it, like not trying to be anybody that you're not, but, you know, taking care of the art, respecting its roots. And I think Nick does a great job at that.
Good R&B, in my opinion, is the devil and angel. There's a little devil in there. There's a lot of God in there. You kind of mix them together, and it becomes
God's got everything.
It becomes the reality of what life is.
Yeah,
you got the good and the bad. You got the gospel in there, but you also got a little sinfulness in there.
Just love it.
You know, that nightclubbing kind of thing. Uh-huh. And to me, that's the best R&B out there. Given the fact that we're just now talking about your first real album of original stuff. With the next phase, do you think it would be something of interest, especially with the two of you, to do a gospel or a praise album? Is that something that you would want to do?
You know what? I'm not shutting that idea down, because I know, for one, it'd make my father happy. but it's such a deep influence in me. It's so deeply ingrained in me. I would do that.
We've seen Ann Peebles do it. We've seen Aretha do it. Mm-hmm. All the great singers can go from the nightclubs and, you know, the juke joints.
From the juke joint to the church.
Yeah,
right?
and to the church. And, you know, Sam Cooke did it probably first, and he lost his following because the church people turned against him when he went secular. But he broke that barrier down. So many people have been able to go back and forth and straddle. Even in the countryside, we see Carrie Underwood doing it now, you know, with My Savior, her new album. Interesting stuff, but I would love, as a guy who started in radio doing black gospel, that was my first gig, and I fell in love with the passion of the performing. And that's one of the reasons I gravitated to you. But I would love to hear you do something of that nature, you know, even if it's just for Dad. You know, record a couple songs, and we'll bring Dad on the show, and he can... Is your dad a minister by chance?
No.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
He's a deacon.
He's a deacon.
And he's been...
There's different levels, and I'm not quite clear on that.
St. James. He's been St. James all my life. So
there you go. Cool. Well, let's get back to talking about the album itself. Now, is there a working title for this yet? You got five songs. Mm-hmm. Are they all done, Andy? Are they all mixed and done?
No. They should be all mixed and done by the middle to end of May.
So the three we have are the completed ones?
They're the ones that are all tracked, yes. Yeah.
That means you're still tweaking them.
We're still tweaking.
We're still tweaking. The ones that you just played, Addicted and... and
same thing.
Same things, yes. those are pretty much all finished being tracked. Our producer in Nashville is going to be adding some like little ear candy stuff, and then they're going to be mixing those two tunes. This one that we're going to play a little bit was just is almost finished being tracked.
Okay.
But yeah, it should all be done by the end of May.
You're mixing in Nashville, right? Where did you record at?
My house.
So all of you guys gather at Casa Sutton there, and Anna makes dinner, and you guys just work. I mean, how does it work?
Yeah, pretty much. So
sleep there sometimes.
So you know, most artists, like even big artists, track from their houses now and just send out their recordings to be mixed because tracking is all math.
Okay.
And
that sounds so sterile. I'm not hearing sterility in any of these songs, and that just sounds so mundane.
Well, when I say that, I'm talking about like mic placement, like how far this should be.
Okay.
You know, which mic you should use for this. You know, there's a lot of the non-sterility part about that is coming up with sounds and coming up with parts and arrangements, you know, and making it feel good. And then when you're ready to track it, that's all, you know, how are we going to get this into the computer, you know?
Okay.
And that's math, right? And so when I first started with this idea, I go to some real well-known drummers and musicians like maybe a couple times a year to get some career counseling. And one of the guys I go to is Tommy Igo out of San Francisco, and he plays with the Birdland Big Band. And he actually played on like one of Lauryn Hill's Christmas albums, like after her first release back in the early 2000s. And I was telling him about this project that I was thinking about doing, and he basically set me straight. You know, every time I go to career counseling like that, like I feel like I know exactly what I need to do.
And then
they
slap you down.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you need to get this. You need to get this. You should be tracking at your house. Nobody tracks like at a studio anymore because it's too time consuming, and like you have to get everybody together and all that. It's hard, and like you only have a certain amount of time. And like just track from your house, like get some real good recording gear. Like if you buy the right things, and you told me what to get. And so like that's why that was my next endeavor to learn, you know, at that point, because I had been doing live sound when we play our live band gigs for a long time, and all of a sudden I had all this recording stuff to learn how to do and practice and try, and it was hard to do. So so yeah, everything is tracked there, and then we're going to send it out to get mixed by.
So you send them individual tracks and let them do the magical mixing down there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, okay. So we send them. I kind of mix it a little bit, right? And so these are my mixed versions, my demos
of how you hear it in your head,
of how I hear it,
and then you send them the individual tracks to kind of match what you've done.
I send them the individual tracks, and then they space it out. They make sure that everything is mastered good, and then they take what I did and they say this can be done better by doing this, right? And then they make it the best it can be through mixing, so that you can hear every single thing. And yeah, and they put their own stink on it too, you know. they color the record a little bit, and yeah. So, okay.
Now, Nick, when you're doing your parts, and I know I cannot play guitar at all. I'm a failed guitar player, but I know so many guitar players, and so many of you guys have like a room full of instruments. I don't know how many you have, but how do you know which guitar for which song and which tone that you want? I would always think there's six strings, it's wood. Okay, you can make it sound the same, but you can't. And I learned that from people like Nugent over the years. Even though it sounds like he's playing the same thing all the time, you know, he picks the different guitars. Montrose did it. How do you choose when Lauren and Andy say, okay, Nick, we need you to put a guitar part on this? How do you know what to pick?
I do have one guitar that is kind of my go-to.
Okay, and that's your go-to guy?
And at one point, I just, it's not even my favorite guitar. It's kind of like in a relationship, you know? Like, you're my big fat wife, and I'm going to love you no matter what, you know?
That sounds so B.B. King.
It just went that way, and I said, you know, I'm going to wear it out. You know, that's it. But I do have other ones from earlier on still, and I have a couple real cool ones. I'm more of an amplifier guy than I am a guitar guy, and I did have a lot of guitars at one point in time. But let's just say, you know,
divorces and different things. But, you know, the whole thing is like I always kept my a main one with me. And it, you know what? And I had guitars stolen, and even my main guitar was stolen once, and I found it. So it's but for me, it's like you. If you got one thing that you connect with, it's almost like every time I even went to Nashville and recorded a few times, and I brought a slew of guitars with me, thinking I was going to use them. And maybe for some certain sounds, I would change it up. But for like most part, for the rhythm tracks and stuff, my my main guitar is pretty on point, and it's always in tune. It's just a solid deal. So. Yeah, I guess the answer to that is like I pretty much do go to that for most rhythm tracks. And if I'm in the studio, I'll grab one of my old Gibsons because it got a little more power for like lead stuff, you know. So a lot of times tracking lead stuff, I'll grab one of the old Gibsons because they have – and everybody wants me to go back playing those. They're like, man, why is he playing that thing? But so it's a true story. But I do think that, you know, that they have a little bit of a more distinct – lead sound, if you would say that, like it more of a, so as far as single note things, when I'm in the studio, I notice that I go, yeah, I'll grab the Les Paul or SG. But rhythm guitar stuff, I love my G&L. It's like a Stratocaster, but, and it's been morphed through the years into all kinds of different configurations, but it's definitely my go-to. It's been refretted maybe 5 times. It's falling apart as we speak. It's true. And it's a true thing. Like, and the guy from G&L said he was gonna. This is true. I was at the NAMM show in Nashville, and the guy said, "I want to make a story about the most played G&L because it's that worn out." I got it a year right around when I first joined the Kenzie Report. So
that was a while back.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, so you know, but that guitar is it's worn out. It's been its thing, and you know, I see that, you know, they make guitars that are worn out from the factory now. You know, things
it seems like
that.
Cheating. It's like stonewashed jeans.
I was so thinking that.
It's like no, you got to do it yourself. That doesn't count.
I'm all ripped.
I don't know, man. They're cool, but I love this. I love that I really played this guitar, and that it really is my wear on it. So you know, so that's that. Yeah, but one guitar.
There's a good
really...
anecdote about this for the next song, too, because for a couple weeks when we were tracking, Nick kept telling me, like, hey, I got this real cool B-Bender guitar. It's like an acoustic guitar, and you just move it, and it changes the pitch like a slide. And I was like, oh, okay, we'll try to find, like, a spot, because we like to experiment a little bit, too, and find some stuff.
You mentioned, that's the second time I've heard this. We had Chris Hillman from the Birds on the show, and he was talking about a B-Bender.
Yes.
And he goes, I'd never heard of that, and his son, I think it was, turned him on to it. And I'm like, what the heck is a B-Bender guitar?
Yeah.
And it's got some kind of thing you
it's
put
got a
on
mechanism.
The guitar?
Well, it's inside the guitar, and it's got a mechanism where you pull down, and it... pulls the bridge so that the strings loosen.
Is that new? I mean, I'd never heard that phrase until like 6 months ago, and now I've heard it 3 times.
if I can jump in.
All right, jump in. Keep it brief because we got to get to this song here.
Okay, real quick. So typically that's a deal on an electric guitar, on a Telecaster. And through the years, this guy's trying to mimic the sound of a pedal steel or a lap steel guitar, right? And I just so happened to run across Bob Sherman had one of these, and I said, he goes, go ahead and play it. And I just said, I have no interest in it. And then I played it. I said, I gotta have this thing, man. So that was
it's like the crack of guitars, huh?
So it's an acoustic guitar. And
as
like,
as soon as I heard it, I was like, I gotta have this thing.
Yeah, and so he keeps telling me about this acoustic guitar that can change his pitch like that, because usually it's not acoustic. And so I was mixing this sound. I was like, it would be really cool to have like a slide guitar in there. And I was like, Nick, just bring that B-Bender over. We'll play around with the sounds and stuff. And so we put this acoustic guitar through a pretty distort. What kind of amp was it? Was it a Bassman?
Okay. So this is a Mesa Boogie
Mark
C2 Plus, which is like the holy grail of overdriven amplifiers. Like, you know, Keith Richards and everybody. Here I am. Kenny Kens used to call me Johnny Amplifier because I love amplifiers. But like, yeah, this really was pretty cool. And I mean, nobody would ever know that's an acoustic guitar.
Yes,
that's the coolest part.
And that's on Closure.
That's on the one that's coming out.
All right. Well, let's play this now. This is the song we're talking about with the B bender.
Disclaimer: vocals are not complete. It's not complete, but yeah, let's check out that B bender.
This is the last one you sent me, Andy, right?
Yes.
Closure.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you wanted to send this even though it's not completed?
Well, I mean, she just means we don't have the final take of everything.
Okay.
But most of the parts are tracked on here, so you can get an
This is pretty much
how it's going to sound. There's just going to be a final part.
All right, let's do it. This is the longest one on my playlist tonight. This is Closure, Lauren Dukespan. We'll be back. Say goodbye and a couple closing comments.
And pain way down deep, and I want it gone. Green's never been a color I've been willing to put on. Yeah, baby, take my hand, remove my hair from my eye, wrap your arms around me. This is our night. Was never part of our deal. No need to go emotion it up. So roll up your sleeve and I'll roll up mine. I just need your happiness set me free. I'm as free as ever now. Will you call me back to clean my way? One day you want something everlasting, and maybe I will want the same. That ain't in each other's arms. All this will be our game. Whatever was never
tomorrow. Then by tomorrow. Then by tomorrow.
Tasty, tasty stuff. Closure. I like that ending where it's all stripped away and it's just the voice.
Thank you. And it's that final. You know what? Fine, then. Bye, Felicia. It's that final kick in the junk.
My guest has been Lauren Dukes and Andy Sutton in studio. Mr. Nick Bird by phone. They are three quarters of the Lauren Dukes band. Technically, you're a four-piece, but you also have keys in there now, and Aiden on saxophone sitting in on the recording.
Mm-hmm.
And you're able to replicate this on stage, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Shout out to Moses Hall. Moses Hall does an excellent
job. Is that the keys?
Yeah.
And Kurt, there's also going to be some trumpet parts on Addicted and a couple of the other tunes that Kirk Garrison wrote as well.
Okay. Now, how do we keep up with Lauren? We got a minute left. You're going to be doing a lot of shows this summer promoting this. We're going to even do a CD release party at the Record Bin in Michigan City.
Yes.
Date to be announced because Andy has to do his Andy things and make it all work. So where do they find out, Andy?
So we just, we're putting up a website this week, which is MissLaurenDukes.com, MissLaurenDukes.com. So right now there's a splash page, like a, there's a just template website up there for with her information on it, so you can check out some of that information.
MissLaurenDukes.com. M-I-S-S or
yes.
M-S?
M-I-S-S.
Okay. And then also personal Facebook page, Lauren Dukes. Mm-hmm. And then on Instagram, Miss Lauren Dukes, but that one's M-S, period. Lauren Dukes.
All right.
And then you can always follow Sutton Music Co. to check out those days, too.
All right. SuttonMusicCo.com.
SuttonMusicCo.com or Facebook.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us. We are out of here. Thanks, everybody. Join Chef Nick and I as we do a crossover show on Friday for Cinco de Mayo. We'll get celebrating a little early.
Woo!
Stay safe and adios.
Thank you.
And pain way down deep, and I want it gone. Green's never been a color I've been willing to put on. Yeah, baby, take my hand, remove my hair from my eye, wrap your arms around me. This is our life.